Kia ora kotu, and welcome to another exciting episode of Key Cards. You have guessed, I don't know if you remember me, I was here a long time ago. I'm back for a special two nights event this week and next week as well to host this amazing show here on planetaudio.org.nz or 104.6 FM if you are in the Auckland area. And if you're outside, go online and stream us, because it's going to be 90 fantastic minutes all about arts and stuff. And tonight, hosting with me, the fantastic Georgia Parker.
I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
I've been telling everybody.
Oh, wow.
You have to tune into the show this week. Ian's going to be there. He's my favorite person.
Oh.
It's a great time.
Richard? I win this one.
It's all good. He's not listening. He's in France.
He's going to listen.
Richard,
knowing him, he's going to tune in on Planet Audio.org.nz and listen to the show. I'm pretty sure he's going to do it.
How amazing is his trip looking? It's
yeah.
Like...
I did the same last year.
Just like having the best time.
Yeah, good on him. He needed a holiday.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, then he's going to host Kickarts for a whole year.
Two more weeks.
Yep. Yeah, good on him. So it's really nice to see you back here. But you've been around and you've been hosting and you've been doing a lot of shows. Play a lot of music.
Making everyone listen to my music.
Yeah, yes.
Not my music.
Well,
music,
but the music you like.
Listen to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's what we are here for, right? No Eurovision tonight, but I may play some strange things later on.
Let's do it.
When we have time, because we have a studio full, but really full, jam-packed of guests. And, well, it's so many. I will try and I let them kind of introduce themselves because, as usual, I'm not prepared at all because I was working on an amazing TV show till Friday.
Oh, what were you working on?
Married at First Sight. But let's move on.
Actually,
yes.
You're working on that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's real cool.
Do you like it? Are you one of the watchers?
I haven't watched this season.
Yeah. No. Okay. It's a fantastic show. I have to sign a contract to see this.
I would watch it, but it just takes up so much time.
Yeah.
It's
but it's a month, though. It's only a month of course of TV.
Man,
3 nights.
Like, I've been trying to get through The Handmaid's Tale for months.
Oh, oof.
It's so good.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's pin that.
Yeah, let's pin that and talk. I didn't move past episode two. Let me put the mic on in the studio so we can listen to the other people. But there is a couple of great shows I've seen when I had a moment. Maybe we can talk about them.
Coronation Street.
Yes, I love it. And Shorty. Don't miss an episode. Well, actually, you only need to watch the trailer, the promo, the 15 seconds promo, and it's enough to follow the whole show. Oops, I didn't say that live on radio. Well, let's introduce the guest tonight, and I will start with Daniel, I guess. And Daniel is, let's see my notes. Marianne has forwarded me some notes, and she wrote them so small that I should wear an extra pair of glasses to be able to read them. So, Daniel is a main actor on The Scandalous Four. That's right so far. And so, and it's on the Pump House.
That's right. So that's right. One week at the Pump House and 1 week at Alberton House.
Fantastic. That sounds great. So then we have, let's see, the next one is Jeff.
Hello.
Right?
Yes.
And you're not on my list.
That's cool.
Surprise game.
Maybe it's Jeff spelled differently than Jeff, right?
Is it G-E-O?
Why. It's like Sean, you know? How many spelling of Sean do we have in English? It's like crazy. So I have you. And Jeff is a singer.
Yes. And,
sorry, are you going to sing tonight for us? No. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of... I could.
Okay.
I didn't expect... I don't know. How do I answer the question?
Well,
yes,
we'll talk about it later. And then we have... Let me see. We have Todd. And Todd is on the water cooler.
Correct.
That's right.
I co-produce that.
Co-produce that.
Yeah.
And that's on the basement theater.
Yes.
Old basement theater. Don't we love it? And then we have, let's go, I told you it's a lot of people tonight. It's like going through. And then we have Russell, and Russell is musing, here to talk about the Music Therapy Week.
Kia ora, it's Russell, yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then David, a dancer, talking about, well, why don't you not talk about David?
Probably the same piece as Jenny, who's sitting there. Talk about
awesome.
The rest of my life, if you want. I don't
think that's the point. Jenny and David are here to talk together about the same thing, so welcome as well to Jenny.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let's start this chat.
You
want
to
kick it? You want to kick it? Should
I
kick it?
Kick it.
You don't know how to kick it. So let's. So I have to kick it, man. Oh, well, we are on kick out, so we're gonna kick stuff here. So let's start with. I'm very curious about the music therapy, right? Week.
Yes.
Russell, tell us about it a little bit.
Music Therapy Week is coming up. It's not starting tomorrow, but the following week. I think it's on from the 20th, and every year we have a awareness-raising event for music therapists in New Zealand. Music therapy's been here for quite a few years now, and so yeah, that's Music Therapy Week coming up.
So what do music therapists do?
What do we do? Well,
yeah. I don't know. I ignore everything. So explain to somebody that doesn't know.
Of course.
How do you help people with music therapy?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we do. We help people with music therapy. We use music as a tool for helping people with all kinds of disorders or disabilities, or even if you don't have any of those things. So we improvise music, we make music, we help people with communication, creative expression. We can work with people with autism, with dementia, cerebral palsy, all kinds of things, all kinds of ways of making music with people who maybe struggle in other parts of their lives to connect with people.
So it's music can be any instrument, or do you have a selected tracks that you use, or is any kind of music?
Yeah, it is. It's usually making music with people. So you're in a room, a studio, or it might be a school or a hospital, and the music therapist will know the client quite well, usually, mm-hmm. Over time, and we'll provide instruments and make music with the client. So often the people we're working with are not musicians. They're just regular people. They just perhaps have a disability or a disorder. But anybody can make music. And I think just about everybody has some sort of relationship to music. Mm. You know, whether we just listen to it or we partake in it or we perform. You know, we all have a kind of a relationship. And the big sort of picture is we all have a heartbeat, you know, and we all have a pace that we move at or walk at. And we can all feel the vibrations of music. Mm. So music therapists are aware of these things and people and everybody. And we use music as a way to connect with people.
So music as well, voice, singing is music, right?
Absolutely.
So maybe because, Jeff, voice is actually one of the instruments that we always carry around. So
yeah, that's right.
It's great to... So who can sing has an instrument that can carry around everywhere in the world without having to have any carriage with it, right? Mm. Any luggage, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you start singing, or when did you realize, oh, I can make good music with my voice as a singer?
Well, honestly, I didn't because when I first started singing, I was terrible. Like, I was really, really, really bad. But the driving force for me was writing songs. Like, that's how I kind of started. Because I knew that I used to play guitar in bands and things like that. But then I was maybe around kind of maybe 17 or 18, mm-hmm. I started writing songs. And then I felt weird about having somebody else, like, sing songs that I was writing, like, in the bands and stuff. So I was like, maybe I need to learn how to sing, right? So I tried, and I was, like, so bad. I was, like... in the bands and stuff, I tried to sing, like, backing vocals and stuff, and then everyone else in the band was like, just don't, like, you don't need to do that, man, like, just play guitar, don't worry about the singing thing, like, just do the thing that you can do.
Well, maybe they were doing it because they were so good, they were kind of scared.
Oh, trust me, it was not. Like, it really, really wasn't. It was, yeah, dreadful. So, but I kind of just kept trying and kept doing it and practicing, and then eventually got to a point where I was like, oh, it's not that bad anymore. And yeah, that's kind of...
Well, practice makes a master, isn't it?
Yeah.
Practicing, so
it's
and practicing.
Like a long, it's still a journey that I'm on, like getting better, but...
But you're lucky, because so often people will have that said to them in any stage of their life. Oh no, you're not a singer. You know, don't sing. And that's it. Yeah. They just go, whoop, well, I'm never going to sing. And that's a huge impediment for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's like a thing that I feel quite passionate about telling people about, because I think with not singing especially, people seem to think it's something that you either can do or you can't. Mm-hmm. It's like you're born with it or you're not. But nobody would ever say that about being able to ride a bike, you know? It's like if you try ride a bike for the first time and you fall over, it's like, oh, I guess it's not for you to ride a bicycle ever in your whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody would ever say that, right? But for some reason, with singing, people think you can either do it or you can't. And I think that's really... I think that's like a damaging mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But I think you know, people talking about talents, that you have the talent of, or you don't have a talent, but I think... If you really want something, you find a talent within yourself.
Yeah.
And it takes maybe, instead of 10,000 hours to play piano, to be able to play some Rachmaninoff songs, maybe it will take another person 20,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want something, you should never be stopped in trying to achieve it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's and I think that's good on you, that you keep going. So on Friday you have a music video coming out.
Oh, well, so it's the Friday that's just been, actually.
Ah, yeah, this,
so,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe we can find the music video, and then, well, it doesn't really work to play a music video.
No, but is your song on Spotify?
Yeah.
Yeah, the song is on Spotify.
Oh, so Georgia is going to...
So good.
Technology, isn't it amazing? And then from using the voice as well, we have acting uses voice, Daniel, and it's still important instrument as well. So tell us about the Scandalous Four.
All right. Well, you know, you're absolutely right. Voice is one of the key elements and the key tools that an actor uses, and not many actors don't think about it, I guess, fundamentally in that way, and wouldn't compare it to, say, a singer's voice. But you do all the same things. You have to warm up and look after it and train it and all the rest of it. That is very true. The Scandalous Four is an original piece of theatre written by our director at the Acting Collective for this project. And she, Christiane van Wyk, and she wrote this piece quite a few years ago and turned it into a film. And a group of us got together and workshopped it and turned it into a script for stage, which we're now lucky enough to be putting on. So this coming week we will be staging it at the Pump House Theatre in Takapuna.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great venue.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So the Pump House, the amphitheatre or under the roof?
Inside.
Ah, inside.
Yeah.
There is two, right? The Pump House. No. There's the outside and
I've
the...
only ever been to one.
Oh, okay.
They have an outside venue where
yeah,
they
for
do
Shakespeare.
Like
Shakespeare. Yeah.
I've never seen
yeah.
Ah, yeah, where your bum gets flat because it's concrete, so you have to bring...
Oh, you have to bring a cushion.
Yeah.
Long. No dick chair. Is that okay?
Because Shakespeare is about 4 hours, so...
Well, it's spring, so hopefully we're indoors. So we'll be there for a week, and then we have a week to move all our things and do some extra rehearsals, and then we'll be in the Alberton House, which is just down the road from here.
Can you tell us who are those four scandalous?
The four scandalous characters. So the play is set in the 1870s, and I guess at that time almost anything
everything was scandalous.
But it focuses on the lives of four people who lead sort of outwardly, I suppose, a very normal and a life that lives up to the social expectations, but underneath that is the sort of conflict between what people expect to see and, you know, their personal truths and who they are as people, and those identities don't match up. And so that it explores that conflict, which is obviously this is a period piece. We're calling it a number of things, I suppose. In a way it is a drama, but it's also a comedy of manners. It's quite funny. Watching people in that era trying to grapple with some of those things is quite funny in and of itself.
So it's the show for everybody, or is there like an audience? Like, it's not for kids. It's more for, like...
Yeah, no, it's not really, really aimed at children. I think they might not get out of it what an adult would. But I think, other than that, I think most people could walk away with something. There is that comedy element, so I think there will be quite a lot of giggling going on. And there is also that, you know, that and that conflict that I was talking about does have resonance today, that conflict between outward expression and who people are. I mean, you don't need to look far. Mm. Look at something like Instagram and, you know, just how people present themselves in terms of what they think is acceptable and mm-hmm. and desirable versus who they are. So I think, yeah, there's a lot for people to find in it if they bring an open mind.
Awesome. And then you can talk and express yourself with the voice, or you can express yourself with the body.
Can I just say that I'm super excited to have Jenny here, because I saw a piece of hers last year and it blew me away.
Well,
it was just amazing. It was very cool to have. Jenny, I'm really excited to have you here, Jenny.
Oh, so
thank you.
It's all about body language, dancing.
Yes. And the language of your heart, which I guess is expressed in this instance through the body. Yep.
And the show is called Partner?
It's called Partner. And just to be provocative, it's not about me and a partner as such. I'm making a little bit of a play on the word partner, because we are asking, no, not asking, I'm suggesting, this is the poem. I shall say the poem. I think that's useful. Shall I say the poem? Yeah.
Go for it.
I am born barefoot and alone. I will die barefoot and alone. Sometimes my friends come with me. Often they go in the other direction. I am alone, but not lonely. There is music, there is myself, and grace, and these accompany me. So, the dance piece in it, I have a dance partner who, with whom a man dance partner, and I have the little me. She is my partner also, because there's me, myself, and I. And there is music, and some of it's live and some of it's recorded. And there is air, and there is space, and there is silence, and there is some crazy stuff, and there's some very lyrical and beautiful stuff, and then all these things are my partner in my life. So, yeah.
So it's three generations of yourself in this dance play, because it must be something spectacular.
there's the old me, that's me, and the little me, and then there is a man dance partner, and that's David, who's sitting next to me right now, and there's two musicians who are live on stage, so altogether we are five people on stage.
Yes.
Actually five and a bit, because one of my musicians at the time of the performance is 1 month off giving a baby. Having a baby.
So,
we are five and a bit. And all these pieces of the puzzle, all these pieces are part of what is my partner.
That sounds very poetic.
In life. I remember the last piece that I saw of yours. I want to call
Rooms.
It... Yeah,
is it Bugs and Worms?
And is it And Desire? Is that how that was based on a poem as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that something that you often do?
Yes, it is. I like writing, and I make a little poem, and then I like to make it a very small poem, like a haiku. I think there's lots of I was looking at Daniel. I was saying there's so many words in the world. I make small little haiku poems, and then these become the I'm shaping my hands because I can't think of the right word, become the little motif for the dance.
How do you translate words in movement? Is it from your heart? It just comes when you think a word, you think of a movement as well?
What an interesting question. The words, I guess, inspire some kind of energy dynamic. And then my body will follow in this energy dynamic, and I will stretch or slide or curve or bend or convulse or shatter, and that will end up becoming like, and then I will choreograph it into a movement. I'm working at the moment with David, who's sitting next to me, and he's really good at shattering and doing unexpected, elongated things. And so now my choreography, there might be a moment when there's an electric shock, and that's because of him.
So David, you are the electric shock that comes in and electrifies Jenny and the audience.
Right. One thing that's been really nice about working with Jenny is her sort of vision for the project anyway, and how I could come in as more of a supporting character. I was chatting to Jenny's son about this earlier, actually, that when you have your own creative vision, you can get a form of sort of option paralysis when you're trying to work with too many ideas at the same time. And to come into a piece that was like mostly written already, but we had to mediate it through our own experiences, it was very possible to say, oh, maybe it's time to do this thing that maybe bifurcates from the narrative otherwise, but can rejoin it in a way that gives it a bit more dimensionality and context. That was something I really enjoy doing in some other pieces I've worked on as well. I've contributed some music as well as movement, and in every case I've tried to diversify the experience of the audience and the people who are watching and contribute something that is contextually relevant, that doesn't necessarily foreground my work as an artist, but is relevant to and nurtures and supports whatever's happening in the rest of the piece.
Sounds, how many months of work is behind like a show like Partner?
Yeah, my choreography starts so many years ago. There are little seedlings, and then one year they'll spring forth. I didn't just sit down and think. At the end of the last piece, which was that Georgia came to, that was called Bugs and Worms and Desire. And at the when that finished, I didn't just sit down and think, okay, I'll make a new piece. But this one has been, I think there are pieces of it that have been evolving for maybe years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's interesting thing. So it's something, you have multiple things in your hand, and when you feel it's ready to go on stage, you do the final development. Yes.
But then, you know, there's a story in it, which I think is probably true for most of us. We are together, but in a way we are also very alone. I am born barefoot and alone. And I will die barefoot and alone. So yet we go through life and we join together. And right now we are together. We are sitting here together. We have this real togetherness, and we're all kind of like hanging on each other because we know that we're all on the radio together and we're really together. But then we separate and we kind of almost, we don't forget each other, but some people, you just, and so we
Yeah, we cross lives, we say hello, goodbye, we come and go.
Yes.
Yeah. That's part of life.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We'll come back and talk a bit more later. Let's go now to Todd and talk about water cooler. So I guess...
So the water cooler is a monthly storytelling event that gets held at the Basement Theatre. I co-produce it with a dear friend of mine, Alice Kirker, and we set the theme and then invite three people or put the call out for three people to come forward with stories that relate to the theme in some way. And then we have a host and they sort of MC the evening together and we hear three awesome stories and everyone has a great time and goes home.
Okay. Can we know the theme of...
Yes. So the next water cooler is this Thursday on the 18th at 8:30 p.m. and the theme is brain games because it was Mental Health Awareness Week last week.
Oh, awesome.
And it's something that we think we should always be talking about more than we do, particularly in New Zealand. Yeah, and we try and provide a platform for communities or particular themes that we think need further discussion in our country. So that's what the next one is.
Which is sadly, New Zealand is one of the countries with the highest suicide rate in the world.
Yeah, I believe at the moment we actually, in youth anyway, we have the highest in the OECD, which is devastating.
Yeah. It's really sad.
Yeah.
So who are the three narrator or the three storytellers?
So this week we have Vanessa Krofsky, who is a producer and spoken word poet. Keith Patterson, who is a science teacher.
He taught me science.
Oh my God, no way.
Vanessa Patterson. As soon as you see Keith Patterson, I was like...
2 degrees of separation
that,
of New Zealand.
He's the man. I'm going to be there. I'm sold. Okay,
great.
Sorry, carry on.
And we have Logan Joblin, who submitted his story to our website, and he's just moved to Auckland, and I don't know anything about him, but I hope he will be great. I think he will be great.
That'll be cool. I've been to one of these water coolers, and it was the coolest ever.
Wow,
and
what,
I loved
water
it.
Cooler.
And all of the storytellers, those who spoke, it was so different, and that was really cool. I really liked that, how they had interpreted it in their own way. It was awesome. I so would recommend people coming along to these. They're wicked.
So, you are producing this show.
Yes.
But your background is acting, because I remember you were on a musical.
Was I?
Yes, I think you were on a musical I went to see a couple of years ago. No?
I am definitely an actor.
Yeah.
I doubt I've been in a musical.
Wasn't a musical? Okay. But maybe it was a...
Maybe there was... I don't know.
Maybe it was... I thought it was a musical, but maybe I'm wrong. My memory, I'm not very good in facial recognition.
It's okay.
I'm like the iPhone. So I may confuse. But your background is acting.
Yes, I have a degree in acting and I'm a writer and a director as well.
So, because we're always talking about, you know, how hard it is to being an actor or being in the arts in general in New Zealand, in Auckland, and the rest of the country as well, and probably as well the rest of the world. So it's really interesting to see you as a young actor as well stepping in as a producer.
Yeah.
Is it something you would kind of tell all the young actors or, you know, people that follow your step?
Sure.
Because now you're a couple of years ahead of people that maybe just graduate now at Unitec and stuff like that. Is it something you would just suggest tell them, just don't focus on just acting, but you need to be a bit more open-minded in doing different things?
I think any creative in New Zealand can never do one thing only, because otherwise you'd never pay rent. And I still don't pay rent from being a creative yet. But so I think the further you diversify, the more options you give yourself. I am a gay man, and so when I graduated I looked at the industry and was like, well, there's literally no roles, hardly any roles for me. And then all of my hair started falling out, so I have alopecia. So I am a 23-year-old gay man who has no eyebrows. So when I look at TV...
If you didn't told me, I wouldn't even notice it. So I think you made your face work for...
I mean, we all work with what we've got.
Yeah,
but
fantastic.
Yeah, so A large part of the reason I think I produce stuff is because I wanted to have control, to take back some of the control that has been removed from me. And I try to make work that increases the representation of minorities and marginalized groups within society. And I wonder if I was born with more privilege, if I would feel the desire to produce, because I wouldn't have to, maybe. But either way, I've been dealt the hand that I've been dealt, and I enjoy producing. I'm an organized, ambitious human being, and so it comes fairly naturally to me to schedule things and promote things and market things and all of the kind of administrative stuff.
So you're making the most of it.
Yeah, I think we all have to do that, right?
But like it was saying, in the art, you usually have another job to be able to pay rent and pay. So I saw David was nodding as well. So let's have a look. What is the job that you do on the side from...
oh, my God. I worked at the warehouse for 5 years and recently resigned. Well, I'm a casual employee now because they will want me to work for them over Christmas. But I'm now a receptionist for an international engineering company. And I work casually for iTicket and ticket events and stuff like that. And then, yeah.
Are these employers that know that you are working in the art?
Yeah, I mean,
are they nice and they understand that sometimes you have to take time off to go and organize a show? Or have you always noticed there is a kind of a preconcept about being an artist? You know,
I think it has depended. Particularly with the new job I have, I've been there for a month, and I went into the first interview being like, I am an actor and all of these other things, and I will get 48 hours notice and be expected to be able to turn up to auditions, and I need to be able to go to them. And they were like, oh, okay, that's fine. So I think I've tried to find jobs that allow me to do the things that I want, otherwise I'm kind of wasting my time a little bit.
So you're being upfront helped you.
Definitely. I think if you don't set boundaries, then there are none.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, you listen, you've heard it here, Georgia, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got her this. You see how I got her? She was...
People send me a text, so I get totally... Funny story, this week I became the chair of a board because I got distracted by a text message. And I looked down at my phone and everyone was looking at me, nodding, and I went, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then they're like, cool, and who wants to be the secretary? No, it's happened. What am I? And now I'm the chair. Sorry, everyone.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's the board? Can you tell? Or
Titirangi Music Festival.
Okay, well.
It's going to be awesome.
You have a platform
year.
Where you can talk about it.
It's going to be awesome, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the new chair of the board. Very, very enthusiastic.
That's fantastic. Did you find the song of Jeff?
Yep. Yes, I did. And
Shall we have a little break and listen to Jeff's song, and then we come back and we talk about it.
I do have one question.
Yeah, go for
just
it.
Just to make sure that I...
That is the right one.
You've got quite a few songs on here, but is the brand new one is Don't Know You No More?
That's the one, yeah.
So I love the album art.
Oh,
The single art.
It's a
person holding a whole lot of sour worms.
Oh, okay,
I took that in my room. That's like, you can't see it because it's radio, but like I stuck it. I went to like warehouse stationery and I bought like a blue piece of cardboard and I sellotaped it to the wall. And then I went to the dairy down the road and I bought a thing of like gummy worms.
There you go.
And I put as many gummy worms in my hand as I could possibly hold. And then I went like this and then I put...
Why the gummy worms?
I don't know. I just wanted it. I wanted something colourful. And so originally... What I wanted to do was buy, like, Goody Gumdrops ice cream and scoop it into a cone and have it be melting all over my hand. Yeah. But I couldn't get the scoop to look the way that I wanted it to look. I couldn't get the melting to work the way that I wanted it to melt.
Yeah.
Because you probably need dried ice to keep it cold until then it starts melting.
Yeah. But it
so you ate
really,
it.
What's that, sorry?
So you ate it.
Well, it was like all melty and disgusting and it was all over my hand. Yeah. And I probably could have eaten it if I tried really hard.
But did you eat the gummy worm at the end?
Well, the gummy worms are like in a Ziploc bag at home now. There were so many gummy worms. I should have actually. But I've held all of them. You know, like they're
well,
all, you know.
Yeah, good.
After being all sticky with ice cream.
Mm. Yeah.
You could have shared them and then told us about
yes.
them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
everyone would be like, ugh.
But we'll share the link to this in the post about the podcast this week. So if people are curious about this actually really wicked photo.
So if you want to listen as well to the songs of Jeff, you can go on Spotify Apple Music as well.
Yep.
There you go. Anyway. Can you buy the real album as well? Because there is some people that are, you know, really, I want to own the CD.
No, I have not got any of that anymore.
But people can just buy it on Apple and then
burn it
onto discs.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
That's what me and my sister have been doing because we've got cars that only take CDs.
Or get a car with Wi-Fi or Bluetooth and then you just stream it over, right?
Specifically for my song.
Yes.
Buy a car.
Exactly. Buy a car and buy a radio with Bluetooth so you can listen to Jeff's song, which title is?
Don't Know You No More.
All right, shall we give it a go and start to play? Okay, it's been a while, so I hope I'm already playing it. It's this one. All right.
It's 8:35, and I wish that you could see this sky. Twilight sinking towards the ocean, the waves moving in slow motion. Could have been mine, but you ain't, and you know the reasons why. Hey, yeah. But you're still in the words I write, though you're halfway around the world tonight. Oh, oh, oh. And I know I've said that I never wanted forever, but it's still hard to say I don't know you no more. And I know I've said that I never wanted forever, but it's still hard to say I don't. Remember the time we went down to the water that night. Contradictions in the sunset, the trees painting their regrets in the light. You could have been mine, but you ain't, and you know the reasons why. Hey, yeah. But you're still in the words I write, though you're halfway around the world tonight. Oh, oh, oh. And I know I've said that I never wanted forever, but it's still hard to say I don't know you no more. And I know I've said that I never wanted forever, but it's still hard to say I don't know you no more. No, I don't know you no
Well, Jeff, if you couldn't sing, I don't know.
You're really awesome.
I really, really couldn't.
Yeah. Well, I cannot believe that story. I want to now find out an old recording where you couldn't sing because I don't believe you.
Oh, man. I've actually paid a lot of people a lot of money to destroy all of those recordings so nobody can access them.
So you got rid of everything, are you sure?
No
one is holding an old thing that it's going to come out, you know, in a couple of years.
There's a sniper out there with, like, aimed at this room, so if anybody tries to play... No, I'm joking. They're somewhere. I don't know where they are, but...
So we were talking off air that you almost do everything on your song. You compose them, you play them, you sing them. So is it like, for you, is it a blessing? The technology is a blessing because you can do almost everything from a computer, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty cool, like, the way that technology has kind of, like, democratized creativity in a way. Because I think before this, in a lot of ways, in order to even try and make something, you would need to have the backing of a record label or someone who has money who can pay for studio time or pay for session musicians to come in and play on your song and all that sort of stuff. Whereas now it's much easier to just create stuff, you know. And, like, I think in terms of getting it out there and getting people to hear it and that sort of thing, there's still a bit of, I guess, sort of like gatekeeping that is there. But in terms of just purely making it, it's so much easier, and the technology is so much easier to...
But I guess that's where then social media come into play. And I think there is ways to, you know, gain influence and get your own fans or fan base. Mm-hmm. Which are the people then are going to support you in doing what you love doing.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think social media is very saturated, and it's not a natural thing for everyone to do, I think, because there are some people I know who are great with social media and it kind of suits their personality and they feel very comfortable kind of promoting their art and their projects on it, but I've always felt very strange and uncomfortable about that. Like, I think self-promotion for some people in the arts is, like, can be the hardest part. Like, for me personally, it's probably the hardest part of it, because I don't know, it feels icky going to my friends and being like, hey, give me money. You know, like, that's not what it is, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it feels strange to do that.
I feel you. I have the same... Sometimes I have the same feelings, but I think at the end, it's something we want to do, and sadly, we will live in a world that it's dominated by money, so I think that's my little, you know, 2 cents, that we should kind of start to... Yeah, I have to ask for money, and, you know, but they get something that I think it's a great thing. So, you know, we have to stop to give as well stuff away for free, even though, you know, sometimes it's nice to give stuff away for free. But don't feel too bad in asking money, because sadly that's how the world works. Mm. You know, without money we cannot go anywhere. Mm. I'd love to be in a more socialistic country or world, like in Star Trek, you know, you can do whatever you want. And you don't have to pay or to get, but sadly, the world has been shaped in a different way. And, you know, you are very good, so go for it.
Oh,
or you can ask Todd to help to produce. There you go.
I have a question. What is your name on Spotify? Like, do we just search Jeff or...
Oh, yeah, so it's Jeff Ong, so G-E-O-F-F, which is like the funny... old school spelling.
Yeah.
And O-N-G is my surname. It's like song without an S.
Awesome.
That's how I explain it to people, because people are like, Ong, like, Ung? How do you how
sounds
do
like an album
that?
Title to me.
Song without an S.
Yeah. song without an S. Mm. Wow. Going back to shows, and then we go back to the Scandalous Four, does music play a role on the Scandalous Four, or is just pure acting, no music? That's fine. That's the mic getting moved around.
I sound like I'm at the bottom of a well. I can assure everyone listening I'm not. It's a good question. It actually does. And that's not always the case in a play. The reason, I think, primarily is because this does come from a film adaptation to start with.
Okay.
There is already an existing soundtrack that was written for the film, and the director was really keen to use some of that within the scenes. It presents unique challenges in that a lot of things have to be timed really precisely to backing music, so we're still finding our feet in that regard. But it does, and it does add things to the ambience, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's being live show and the music is being composed for something, another medium, it's going to be an extra level of difficulty to adapt it.
Yeah, technically it has been. And then there is the issue in terms of timing it with what's going on, because the danger in using that kind of addition is that if it does, you know, get out of sync, it can detract rather than add. So we definitely want to avoid that.
Sorry, is there a score for the entire show?
No.
And it's like, what?
No. Obviously, the film has a soundtrack, and I haven't watched the film. I put that in the after the show basket.
You don't want to get influenced by it.
No, I know it will be quite different as well. So I thought, I've got the same director for the film directing the play. So if I'm unsure about anything, I'll just ask her. But pieces of that music have definitely been incorporated.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 It would be interesting to watch a live show. Well, there is. Disney does it all the time, isn't it? They do their movie and then they do the musical based on the soundtrack of the movie.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe it's something to experiment the next time. But talking about music again, with Russell, how important is music for you outside the therapy?
Yeah, for me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been a musician. And it was interesting you were talking about being, lots of other jobs and supporting yourself and things. And I think I was fortunate or lucky, or somebody must have advised me, but I think when I was, after doing sort of lots of crap jobs for a while, a long time ago, I sort of decided I was really going to try and earn a living, I think, through being a musician. And I thought, you know, well, that's just what I'm going to do. And I was always trying anyway, because that's what I was doing, is playing and trying to do that most of the time. But then I just found ways of doing that. And I think with working with people with disabilities, it happened quite early for me as a musician. So I started working as a musician with people with disabilities probably 30 years ago now. And I've always done that. And it's only about the last 10 years I've been qualified as a therapist. But always along the way, I've always been a working musician as well. I've always played in bands and dancer touring, and I spent, and I still do, spend a lot of time working with dancers all the time. I've done toured all over the world with dance companies and composed for companies, and so I've always done that sort of thing and been a sound artist, sound installation work and all kinds of things, a few films, and so always sort of been working as a working musician, and the music therapy has been part of one of the many strings of that bow, I suppose.
So your background is music?
Yeah.
And then you graduated in music? Or?
Well, I started playing in bands at school.
Okay. Yeah. What instrument?
Guitars. Yeah, bass guitar, then guitars and singing. Writing songs from really young age, sort of primary school, really. Started writing and playing. And then went on the road with bands in Australia for many years, a long time ago, in the 1980s.
The beautiful 80s.
I know, it was amazing. It was great. And then I decided I'd better to really figure out what I was doing. So I thought I'd go to university, and I went to university and studied composition for a couple of years at Otago, in Dunedin, which is my hometown. But I got really involved in working with theatre and dance and other strange.
Yeah, Dunedin is the Fortune Theatre, right?
Fortune Theatre, and Allen Hall is down there as well at the university. And just lots of Dunedin is one of those wonderful places. There's lots of artists living and working there of all kinds of fashions, and everybody mixes together. And makes things and just does it for nothing. So you can be quite poor in Dunedin and be an artist. It was great. But I was also fortunate, and I've spent about 20 years living in the UK, in London. I got a grant to go and study arts administration a long, long time ago, which took me over there. So I went to London and studied there, and I was working in, as a musician for people with disabilities as well, and touring with dance companies. And I'm mostly touring with Carol Brown dancers. She's a New Zealand choreographer, and fortunately is my partner as well. Mm-hmm. So we collaborate and work together, and still do, and tour, and she's had quite a lot of success, and I'm just riding on those coattails, really, as a composer and a musician. Mm-hmm. But we're based here now, and we have been back here for a few years. Along that way, I trained as a music therapist and in London at the Roehampton Institute, the University of Roehampton. And, came back here. And these days, I'm the clinical team leader at the Raukotauri Music Therapy mm-hmm. Centre, which is in Greylin, just not too far away from here. Which is a really lovely place, and you can find out all about that at rmtc.org.nz. And it's a fantastic place, based in Greylin, but we have satellites all around Auckland. We sort of go to Tirangi and Pukekohe and Orewa and a few other places. And we've opened up a centre this year in Hawke's Bay. So we see people there, and we're just in the process of opening up some practice up in Whangarei.
So you're helping people with disabilities. What type of disability, like motion disability or as well, you know, mental disabilities, everything?
Yes, music therapy really can work with everybody. Mm. You know, some of my clients are very young, infants, preschoolers, and then you can go right through to elderly, dementia, end of life, such things, and everybody in between. Mm. So, yes, I see children with cerebral palsy. I see young people with autism. I see adults with traumatic brain injury. I see elderly people with dementia and aphasia. Lots and lots of different people. Mm-hmm. And I see these people every week. So they either come to our rooms, our therapy rooms in Greylin, or I see them at their care homes or in their schools. We see people with emotional difficulties. We see challenging behaviours. People who have difficulty with communication. They can't talk, or they're reluctant to talk, or they have a disability that restricts their talking. Some really interesting things. Mm. But what we do, we're very fortunate because, as you know, as musicians among us and the dancers and the artists, it can actually be a lot of fun. So a music therapy is one of those things that really increases people's well-being, because you're doing something that just feels good, you know, and can just be an enormous amount of fun. I've got this, there's one client, this boy that I see, he's wonderful, and he's got ADHD, so everything's moving at 100 miles an hour, and, you know, he's with me for half an hour once a week, and we write, you know, a new album every week, just about.
Wow.
it's like, right, what's the name of the song? Oh, it's called, you know, The Light Won't Stop Flashing. Okay, and you're ready, go! So, you know, 55 seconds later, we have a new song. And, you've got to be able to move very, very quickly. And also the opposite. You've also got to be able to be very, very slow and very, very patient with some people, and really meet people at the pace that they're at. Mm. And that can be glacial at times. but it can also be enormously satisfying to meet people musically in whatever way that they can do it.
Sounds very rewarding, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. Mm. It is. I mean, not just in the sort of satisfying sense, but, you know, it is a job as well, and we also get paid. it is a really, really lovely job. So, as I said, Music Therapy Week is coming up, not tomorrow, next week, but next week.
And what's the content of the Music Therapy Week?
Lots of activities all over the country with music therapists, and we're doing something for free, actually. We're doing a gig at Frida Margolis, which is really nice bar in Greylin on Richmond Road, on Wednesday the 24th. The music therapists at at the Rokotori Music Therapy Centre, we're getting together to do, we're calling it an evening of smooth tunes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get together and play and sing, pretty casual. It's free and starts about 8 o'clock on Wednesday the 24th. So you're all welcome. It's in your little bar, so don't everybody come, but you're welcome, yeah.
And I'm sure there is social media, Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look for Rokotori Music Therapy Centre on Facebook. You'll definitely find us there. There's lots of good information there. And on our website, rmtc.org.nz.
Well done. We'll repeat at the end of the show again. Mm. Now, we have talked a lot again about music and about telling stories. And we haven't really heard much from David. How did you start dancing? We always like to know a little bit the background of our guests. How they discover, the passion and made them the passion their life.
It was actually really funny. When I was in ninth grade, way, way back in 2004, I had a good friend I played video games all the time with.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd spend like the whole weekend sitting around in this guy's basement playing games, and one day he comes to me in school and is like, David, I broke my hand. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, somebody threw a basketball in gym class and I broke my hand. So this was devastating. You know, it was absolutely life-changing for us at the time that we couldn't play video games.
No joystick.
Yeah, there's no joysticks happening for the next several months. And so a week later, he comes back and is like, David, I've sorted it out. You know, it's no problem. What we're going to do is play Dance Dance Revolution.
You just need to play the button start.
Right, basically. You have to step on these arrows in time with the arrows scrolling up the screen in front of you. So, ninth grade me was enraptured by DDR, and we'd play hours and hours of this. And later I went to university and was like, wait a second. We can not only do this thing that is physical, but also creative.
Mm-hmm.
When this is another example of being super lazy. So I was in the university's honors program, and I wanted to take a class that I could use to like increase my GPA without having to work very hard. So there was a course called the Creative Process in Dance, and I had like 98% of the people who took it got A's or something, and I was like, yes, okay, signing up for this. And we did a couple movement labs, which really impressed on me the idea. There were different things, like we had to organize some objects in space and then move a response to the organization of these objects. And I was like, this is fascinating because it doesn't, you know, we can still do something that's interesting, and we can build and construct movement space based on our own bodies rather than trying to conform to a specific aesthetic and trying to look like anything in particular. I might, you know, take a fork and a lanyard and tie it to a ballet bar and then put some other stuff beneath it. And then suddenly this becomes a space that we can interact with in a creative process this way. So I think I was extremely privileged to go to a university that supported this sort of activity, and also to be... This university was really eclectic as well. I got my undergrad and later graduate degrees in fire engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to study engineering and dance and music and Russian at the same time was really... And being in a university setting that facilitated that sort of transdisciplinarity was a really positive experience. And later, I think it helped to structure how I related to creative processes otherwise. When I came to join with Jenny's piece, I'm not just working in it as a dancer, but also somebody who helps to construct other parts of the space. I'm playing a little bit of music in this one as well.
Wow.
And hopefully for the next piece as well, we can do some, you know, diversify the experience further. I like working with lights as well. So a couple different things that hopefully we can work with.
Fantastic. So, Jenny, talking about partners and, you know, you dance and you work with different partners, how do you find the right partner for the right piece? Do you have, like, a system, or is it, again, something that it's the feel, or do you do auditions? Or do you go and watch it with the show and pie?
Okay, the partner, the dance partner with whom I worked in for my last show, unfortunately got deported and the visa ran out. So he left, had to leave. He was deported. So I mean, I've been around in the dance community for quite a while and I know different people. And David I met through another woman who works, who's in the dance world. So, yes, it just, it was a like a gift. And I didn't particularly audition, but he is the right person. The child who's in this piece, I did my my show. I went and took it to New Plymouth. And she came to my workshop, a little girl, and I fell in love with her, and she is so beautiful. And so I know it sounds crazy to have one of my dancers who comes, who lives in New Plymouth, but I took some time. I went down, I taught her the work, and she and her mother are coming back up, and we are going to, it's going to work, we're going to make it work, the group of us. And for the musicians, I'm really listening hard to the way that the other, my fellow interviewees are talking tonight, because our music is not written. My harp lady, I worked with her for my last show, Bugs and Worms. She is a very highly trained, sophisticated musician. She's completely blind and she can't see what we're doing. My flute player is playing the Native American flute. He doesn't know any music at all. He's completely playing by heart and by ear. So Karen says, well, what key are you in? And he says, I don't know. And she says, can you do that phrase again? No. But somehow we put these two together. She is blind. She can't see what we're doing. He can see. It's we are making some magic.
Wow.
The music is just incredibly magical. And then one day David said, oh, I can play the flute too. So I have now put into this piece as a as another partnership the two, I say the two boys, and they're fluting together. So there's a part where I am sitting just with just very quietly on the side of the stage. The little child who is the young me, she sits beside me. And then the two flutey boys are leaping around, playing flute at the same time and galloping around. Well, not galloping. They're precariously, precariously dancing around the stage with their flutes. So we have a completely new piece of partnership and music, the South, the Native American flute and the classical silver flute, and happening together.
So is every show then a bit different?
Yes.
Just because of these, all these elements that combine?
It's a little bit precarious and a little bit unknown. And the timing is going to be 65 minutes for the show, but we don't know exactly... We don't know exactly...
If it's 65 or 70 or...
No. It will be 65 or maybe 64 and a half. But, yeah, we know... But the way that the choreography is a little bit... it's flexible enough so that it can be melded. What is this word? Melded.
Yeah, I think... And well, you talk to the one that speaks the worst English.
Crafted. and sometimes we might hold it just a little bit longer. And sometimes it might just go...
So how hard, because you say you have a child as well. How hard is for her then? Because probably she got taught about tempo and timings and dancing. How hard is for her, or maybe because she's a child, she is more moldable.
Yes, yes.
Is it maybe for her easier than maybe for us?
When she came into my workshop that I taught in New Plymouth, something in my heart said, yes, she's the right one.
Mm.
And she is indeed. She has learned the material, and we played just sort of ambient music in the background. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we practiced this whole piece listening to Moby.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And the long ambience, which some of you might know. But, so it's not got a specific one, two, three, four, one, two. So it's got a love, it's got enough flexibility. And I suppose in a way it's reflective. The way that I choreographed this piece is reflective of the way that relationships shift and change.
Mm.
And if you try to fix it, then it's too late.
You have to move on.
You need to let it, you need to breathe it and hold fast and then let it go.
That's fantastic. Sounds magical. Shall we play another song, Georgia?
Have you got something or do you want me to pick something?
Yeah, search for Idol.
Search for Idol?
Yeah, try Idol. Okay. And see. Let's see if we can play some Korean music. That's, you know...
Is that the song name or the band name?
It's the song name.
BTS?
BTS, that's
the
one.
With Nicki Minaj?
Yeah, what time is it? Yeah, we can play the Nicki Minaj.
All right.
Because the thing is explicit. Is it the one?
Are we ready?
Yeah, we are ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. Let's go. So this is BTS with Idol, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
In the air, and put more than my hands in the air. Hands in the air. in the air. If you getting money, rubber bands in the air. Never gave an F, there's a chance on my chair. Cause if he look good, then my pants in the air. To John Mayer, body's a wonderland, my face is top tier. I swear, watch the ice clear. Be like on Gucci, but don't shop there. One time, press rewind. Tryna come up off Nicki name, press decline. So much power in the mind, yes, divine. Take your change, you'll never be next in line. You can stop me up in my side.
Well, here we are having breaks. Maybe let's play another song quickly and then we come back when everybody is back. So,
do you have a song you want? Or I
well,
have a
you
song.
Choose.
I have a song.
Don't you have that song that you want, you're pushing to a million?
Yes, but actually, I went and saw this week A Star Is Born.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Okay.
Let's talk about it. Let's play this song and then we'll talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, because I haven't seen it yet. Controversial opinion, but I will say that one of the songs is so good.
Okay, so we can play it.
Yeah.
And then we do a little review, but no spoilers, okay?
Okay.
So we try not to, it's not a movie that has a lot of spoilers, probably.
Okay.
But let's play, who is Lady Gaga and
Bradley Cooper
singing together?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. He speaks French, by the way. I saw an interview.
He is a super hottie babe.
You like him?
I date him.
Oh, you date him? Okay. So we'll try to organize for next time have Bradley Cooper on Kick.
Also, date reviews are back. And I saw this on a date. So I reviewed the date.
I'll just have to ask him if it's okay. So stay tuned because after the song, you're going to listen to the date review with Georgia Parker about A Star Is Born. Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in all the good times I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I fear myself. Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling. In all the good times I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I fear myself. I'm of the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never meet the ground. Crash through the surface when they can't hurt us. We'll fall from the shallow now. In the shallow. Shallow, in the shallow, shallow, la, 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 la. All right, that was Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga with the song From A Star Is Born. Yeah. So, Tinder review. No, date Tinder night review.
Also, Tinder review.
Tinder, because it was a Tinder special night.
I will say this. Oh. Okay, so there used to be date reviews where I go see things and I'd take a different date and then I review the date and...
and the show.
Yeah, but then... but then I had an 18-month relationship, start doing that.
At 18 months?
Yeah, but I will say this. Tinder review, Tinder's a lot better this time around.
What, really?
Yeah, because you just, I bought this thing where you can see who's liked you, so I don't have to do any swiping. So I just go in, and I'm like, cool, these are the people that have liked me. I'm like, oh yeah, he looks right. So that, it's like way less maintenance. I spend like three minutes on it a week.
Look at you. Technology, eh?
I know.
It's like, what would I do without technology nowadays? I couldn't go in a bar and
date.
You can
dance.
Yeah,
can.
I could.
Dancing is
yeah.
a wonderful way to meet
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
yeah.
right.
Dancing's
right. A wonderful way to meet people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Depends how you dance, I guess, but
how many people you meet.
But I do, in Italian we say the dance of the square, the tile. Because you stay on the tile and that's all I dance. It's called the dance of the tile, okay. Or il ballo della piastrella, and you stay there and you just move.
No, we need to go out one night, Innie.
Okay, invite me and then...
Yeah, let's let loose. It'll be great.
Do
okay.
A review.
Yeah. Then we do a review of the... of the date night.
Yeah, let's go on a date, Innie.
Yeah. Well, you know, no danger with me on a date. Anyway, let's move on and do the shameless promotion. Tell me first about the movie, quickly.
Okay. Movie was, I felt like it was shot on a GoPro. Oh. It's a lot of very close up.
Oh.
And also, I felt like it was about an hour longer than it needed to be. I'm like, get on with the story.
Okay, I already know that I'm not going to go and see then.
No, but I would be interested as somebody who is like... like works within the industry, like because you might really like the way it was shot.
Maybe,
but to me, I felt like it was a GoPro at the end of a guitar.
Okay, I can't wait to go and see First Man, the new movie of Damien Chazelle. He did La La Land, and he did the much better Whiplash.
I heard that was really good.
I saw it last night.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Can agree it is good. I saw it at IMAX. My eyes aren't big enough for Claire Foy that close on that size of screen.
Claire Foy.
Her eyes
she's
are
amazing.
Beautiful, yeah.
Have you watched The Queen on Netflix with Claire Foy?
So good.
But now it's been replaced by
Helena Bonham Carter.
Helena Bonham Carter is playing the sister.
Who's playing?
It's Olivia Colman.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Who's
Daniel? No idea. He's very well informed.
Yeah, it's from Broadchurch.
I'm good.
Wait, watch only season one. The rest is crap. Only season one, and that's it.
Question about the First Man. Our First Man, what is it called? The
one First Man.
First Man. So I saw something in the news that said they don't show the American flag when they land on the moon, and it was like a problem for Americans.
It was a problem that a Canadian was playing an American.
Oh.
That was a big problem.
But the flag, does the flag go
I recall
into the moon?
Very vividly seeing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Staked into the moon and, you know, artificially jutting out.
Yeah. Maybe it was a release. Maybe in a particular part of the world they're releasing it without the
maybe in China.
It wouldn't surprise me if they send it.
Or Russia.
And also, is Claire Foy's American accent okay? Because I saw a trailer that I was like, cool.
Ooh.
Maybe she's been playing.
I am a huge fan.
It was melting.
I'm not great at accents, but I did feel like it maybe crossed state borders a little bit.
Okay,
but it was good. It was good. Yeah,
I mean,
it's Claire Foy. Come on,
no, I mean, she's
let's not be too picky. And I don't give a damn an accent because my accent is crap anyway. So
you have the best accent.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds
you are
authentic
my only
to me.
Fan.
Sounds authentic to me.
Yeah, it's only one. When I die, my accent is gonna die as well.
Oh, no, we'll be able to go back and listen to the podcast.
Oh yeah. But who's gonna maintain the website?
Because I know how to use that now. Because I had to learn for work.
Well,
is it a WordPress?
No, it's not WordPress. Oh. It's all manually coded because...
Oh, no, I don't
Kikas
know how to do
that.
Kikas
has money to pay for WordPress.
I don't know how to do that.
Anyway.
WordPress was free.
Yeah, it's free.
Okay.
But probably...
still no money.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of WordPress. Okay, let's turn it like that. I hate WordPress. Sorry, WordPress, I hate you. Anyway, let's go to the shameless promotion because time is flying on Key Cards. And let's start with Daniel. And so it's the Shameless 4, and we say it's the Pump House. But let's say all the details where they can find tickets and all
yes,
the things.
Yes, absolutely. So the Scandalous 4 or the...
Oh, Shameless. Did I say Shameless?
You said Shameless, but you know, it's a synonym. Or
it's because I was shameless.
I'm hoping the telenovela spinoff might be Los Cuatro Escandalosos.
Ah, yes.
It'd be great. So Scandalous 4, and we open at the Pump House this coming Wednesday, which I think is the 17th, and we'll be running to the Sunday, and then we will do another season at Alberton House in Mount Albert, opening on the 30th of October and running again to the Sunday.
Fantastic.
Yeah, tickets I think you can get through Eventfinder, or you can go to the Pump House website for that season. But you can definitely get to both through Eventfinder.
Google. Uncle Google finds
Google knows everything,
right?
Much more than I do.
Right, yes. And then you can go and watch the music video that's been released on Friday by Jeff. Mm-hmm. What is the music video? What, YouTube, Vimeo? Or?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, mm-hmm. Facebook. Like 60 seconds worth of it is on my Instagram.
So you go and look for Jeff Ong, like song without the S.
Yep.
And Jeff is like, oh, there's so many spelling.
Like Jeffrey Rush.
G-E-O-F-F, right?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay. Lucky me.
Hey, I'm on your Instagram right now, and you've got good Instagram game.
Oh, thank you.
This is a very attractive Instagram.
Oh, thanks.
She is.
There's a lot of, a lot of it is just spam at the moment. I want to...
Like go not, spam free.
What's that?
Go spam free.
Well, not go spam free. Well, I mean, because the song came out on Friday, a lot of it is just like promotion for the song. And
but that's what you have to do. That's
it is
social
what you have to
media.
Do, yeah.
Go and push it out there.
We've got so many mutual friends.
Shameless promotion. Mutual friends as well, apparently.
Scandalous promotion.
Scandalous promotion, yeah.
It sounds like.
But that's great. And then you can go and listen to three amazing stories at The Basement, right?
Yes, you can.
And it's what? How many nights is it on?
It's just one night. It's a monthly, one night only, per Jennifer Hudson.
It's only one night, people. So this is going to be a fight for the tickets here.
Oh, yeah. And it's held in the studio space, so there's only 50 of them.
Oh, whoa.
And they're $12, so that's just a reasonable situation.
It's cheaper than going to the movies. Yeah.
And if you bring you and three friends, so if it's a group of four, you can get them for $10 each.
Wow. That's really scandalous promotion.
They're sold.
Getting a lot of plugs here.
They're sold through.
The Scandalous 4.
Yes.
Like, look at that. You go to the Basement, Scandalous 4, and you get... So, I'm trying to mix up shows now here. So just grab the ideas. You can work together, and then suddenly, if you are Scandalous 8, you can get 8 tickets and go to both shows.
But yes, we are called The Water Cooler. We have a Facebook page, a website... and you can find tickets through the event, which is the Water Cooler issue 51. Brain
51.
Games.
51.
The name of the show this month is Brain Games. But yeah, the Basement website, iTicket, kind of your normal.
So it's places. Once a month.
Yes, it is.
So 51. Oh, wow. It's been
yeah, it's
around
been running
for
since 2013.
Five, yeah,
and years. I took it over at the beginning of 2017, and then Alice joined me 6 months later, and... It's going from strength to strength.
Fantastic.
Used to be a podcast, isn't currently, but from next year it will be. And our final event of the year is in November, on the 15th of November, and we are collaborating with the deaf community.
Mm-hmm.
We will have three storytellers using New Zealand Sign Language, and then they will be dubbed over with interpreters so that a hearing audience can participate.
Oh, that's an amazing idea.
Yeah, we're creating it predominantly for the deaf community to be the focus of an event rather than... them having to watch an interpreter on the side of something, which is usually the case. So that will be a really cool thing to come along to too.
Yeah, so follow Water Cooler on Facebook, so you will get all this information as the shows comes out to us. And then you can as well enjoy the Music Therapy Week, which is nationwide, all New Zealand.
Yes, October 20.
And
free event on the 24th.
And Russell already told us website, but you can repeat, go for it.
Oh, well, just if you want to know anything about music therapy, you can go to musictherapy.org.nz or the Rokotori Music Therapy Centre on Facebook.
That's fantastic. And then we can go and admire Jenny and her dancing and everything that's going to happen on that show that sounds magical. So tell us more where people can go. And
thank you. I don't want to admire so much as this is a journey, come with me. We are at Tepec, which is 100 Motions Road, across the road from the zoo.
Yep.
In case you can't find it. Listen to the animals across the road. And we are at 6:30 at night, so you can still be home safe in bed by 8:30.
Oh, wow.
That's important for you.
I'm an old man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it is on Sunday the 28th and Monday the 29th of October. And it's called Partner. And
the tickets are available at the Tepec.
Yes,
probably.
You can buy the ticket on tepec.org.nz, and they even have a telephone number, except I can't remember what it is.
You can find it on the website.
Yeah, and you can look up me. I'm Jenny De Leon, and you can look up me, and there will be some information about Partner and some pictures, and yeah. That's it.
That's fantastic. And, you know, as usually is when I host, I got the violin going.
Yeah.
And my favorite violins here. And, well, another show, it's done. It was fantastic.
What a great show. Went yeah. So quickly.
So please go and support the arts in Auckland and New Zealand. And, of course, go and check out the Music Therapy Week, which sounds very, very interesting. And you probably can learn a lot of things like I do every time I host Key Cards. So I want to say thank you to, once again, Daniel for being here, and then Jeff, and don't forget to go and watch his music video. Todd, thank you very much, and Russell, and David and Jenny, which I can't wait to go and see dancing. And what can I say? You can listen to this show 5 minutes after it's off air on planetaudio.org.nz. And of course, you can find all our archive is 318 episodes, and probably with this one, it's 319 episodes of Key Cards, all put together on our fantastic website, which I've updated today. So it's keycards.org.nz. It's a bit slow updating, but every month about I'll put all the shows that went to air. And so you can go back and listen to Georgia's favorite music, and all her dates are all archived there. And what else I can do with it? You can go on Facebook and find for Key Cards. And if you want to come over and talk about your amazing art show, whatever you're doing in the arts, you're writing a book, you are singing songs, you are playing at the theater, just come and talk to us. You can just email to keycards1@gmail.com, and one is the number. And I'll be back next week for another episode. That time I'm going to be co-hosted by
Paula
Cremens. Oh, I can't wait. Sorry, I can't wait. Well, I can't wait. I'm Annie Benzonelli, your host for tonight. I'll talk to you next week for another exciting episode of Key Cards. Have a good night, drive safe, and have a great week. Good night. Shabba-dabba-dabba.